my head may doubt, but my heart knows. My heart knows Jesus loves me and washed my sins away. I know he will keep me forever. No matter doubt what we believe, but we know better. We have God's word. It's in my heart, safe and true.
Putting it. Hallelujah. I was watching different churches on YouTube. You want to try that? Do it. You'll enjoy it. Different ideas, different ways of explaining. There's one preacher, he was preaching, and all of a sudden a guy's phone rings. The guy is talking on the phone. The preacher goes up there, grabs the phone, and throws it on the floor. I don't think I'd do that. I might warn you first. And then there's this guy in Africa. He said, if you die and go to heaven, and you don't see me there, then you're in hell. That's a pretty good way of putting it. If you die and go to heaven, what a different way of putting things, eh? So, where do we stand today in all of this confusion? If you watch the church world, you will wonder, how is God going to deal with that stuff? And I did ask God. I had a bit of an argument with him, and I was doing all the talking, of course, asking him how he will handle all this confusion in the church world. Those who are born again by the Spirit of God And the Lord sneaked an answer in through my questions. You preached on it last week. Other foundation can no man lay except that which is laid. And if you're on that foundation building with gold, silver, precious stones, you will receive a reward. If you do it with wood, hay, and stubble, it'll be burned off. As simple as that. No maybe, ifs, or buts. He said it'll be easy to straighten out. But many, many, many will lose whatever they did, but they themselves will be saved. That's why I love the gospel. Even if you're a failure, when it comes to following Christ, you're still his child. You're still going to be saved. It's like parents who have children. One follows all the laws of the household. The other is a rebel. But the rebel still stays, what? A son. Isn't that interesting how it goes? That's what we are to God. Once we become his children, we are then his for keeps, for he will never cease to be our father. And today I want to teach on an interesting message that took me a little by surprise, because I seek the Lord when I do make a message. I put him down, the scriptures, and then it took him all week to explain to me how I should narrate those scriptures, tell you what they mean, and I'll put in a few of my own thoughts, and we'll see what you get out of it. It's unbelievable how deceived people are today. They're preaching godliness for doctrine. Their godliness is commandments of men. In many, many religious circles and religious organizations, their doctrines that they preach are godliness to them. They put God's laws aside, God's rules aside, and they bring forth their own laws, and that's what they call godliness. And we've all grew up in that. We've all seen it, how they reject the simple way of salvation and bring forth rules, laws, regulations, and traditions of man that will somehow determine if you're going to go into the kingdom. We've all know what that is, because that's what we came out of. God wants us to understand it's an evil spirit, and that spirit runs deep, and it has many, many claws and many, many arms that are wrapped around people and are not letting go. Even when they become Christians, they're tied into this religious doctrines of men. So before we get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Lord, you will bless us today. You will open our hearts as we search scripture and study scripture. Help us to understand. And we come against any devil that'll try to bring confusion here and unbelief. We ask you to bless this message, anoint it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Isaiah chapter 45, in verse 22, it tells us, "Look unto me and be you saved, all ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And when you go into scripture, the main theme of the Bible is what? To get saved. We are all lost, dead in trespasses and sin, and we need a Savior. We're all alike. We all got the same blood out of Adam and Eve, and we were sold into slavery by Adam and Eve, and we are, as of when before you're born again, a slave to Satan because you have his nature. Then God comes along, and strangely, something happens to you. And what is that? You become a child of the kingdom of God. So he says, "Look unto me and be you saved, all ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." how many gods are there out in this world today? If you want to know, go on YouTube and find out. But I'm telling you, it's going to get you depressed. Your spirit will be grieved at how God's creation has turned away from him and has brought to themselves this bondage that shouldn't be. God sees the bondage not only in the traditions of man. He doesn't only see the bondage in the traditions of man. He sees the terrible bondage when somebody is owned by Satan. And that is what God wants us to get rid of. He wants us to preach the gospel. For the preaching of the gospel, it says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. Preaching is what brings light to people because they hear and God opens their minds. And we need to pray that God will open their minds. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, for the mystery of iniquity already does work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So this iniquity is at work all around us. We can see it. Just watch Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. You see the iniquity of what's going on in government. You see the terrible demonic strongholds that people are in. And it says, then that wicked one shall be revealed. The climax will come for this world. It's called the 7-year tribulation period. The climax of iniquity will come. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So God has us here. We're keeping back the evil to a certain extent. But one of these days, the one holding back the evil will be taken out of the way. Then in 7 years' time, this world will be destroyed. Why? It is because God will take back his hand and allow Satan, who will be brought to this earth, him and his hosts, they will bring utter destruction. Man is capable of destroying himself if you leave him long enough. He will eventually annihilate himself. He's doing it by what? Murdering 60 million babies. You see the problem with the border down south where all those immigrants are coming across? They've been murdering their own children. So God brings in people otherwise because the old people have to be taken care of with Social Security. Anyways, that's my take on that. But when the wicked one will be revealed, then one world government, whom they're trying to bring in, will start to work and will operate. And if there's a one world government, you will find out that your say-so doesn't amount to nothing. You will be a number on a computer, and they will deal with you the way they want. So Satan is coming in. He is already working. He is going to bring it to a climax, and God is going to allow this to happen. It tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now listen to this. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. What is happening here? They are for Satan. They have pleasure in unrighteousness. So what does God do? He simply steps back. And then during the tribulation, and I'm sure it's already happening, where God is sending strong delusion to some people. They can hear the truth straight out and understand it, still they will reject it because God allowed delusion to come in. They see this awesome God. The Bible teaches us that during the tribulation, they will know who sent the plagues, but instead of repenting, they will curse God. They will not say there is no God. They will curse him. And here is what it says, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That's a terrible verdict that is spoken on many of this world's people. God is allowing his spirit to withdraw, and then Satan comes in with his unbelievable lies. Remember, he's the father of lies. And people just are so gullible that they believe all he has to say, to the point where they will even give their lives to prove that they believe what Satan has for them. Now listen to this, Romans chapter 1 in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves wise, they become fools. This is an interesting scripture here. And I want to explain something here about those people who are on the planet. I was watching an interesting documentary. How many of you have ever heard of the reindeer people up north in Russia? They follow those reindeers, they herd them, they go migrate back and forth from north to south. And I watched them, and as this woman, came in to make a documentary. And she was there for about a day. The elders out there had about four huts there, four families. So the men got together and had a conference. And they decided that that woman should be wearing a skirt, a dress, because it's not good that she wears pants. And that's when my interest perked up. I've heard that quite a few times already. I was wondering, what kind of a religion do those people have? Do they follow God? That they follow the traditions of Christians down through the ages so incredibly? Then I started to notice that they were worshiping Satan. They were worshiping the reindeer. They were doing all sorts of stuff that was totally demonic. And one of their big deals was, you woman, you are an unclean thing until you wear a dress. And they made a dress from her from reindeer hide, and she had to wear it, otherwise she stayed in their whatever tent they had. Isn't that interesting? She had to wear a dress. I want to refresh your memory. How many of us, who are women here, had to wear dresses once upon a time? I'm not against wearing dresses. I just want to make a point here. How many were forced to wear dresses once upon a time? Let's look a little bit at the spirit behind those who were enforcing wearing dresses. Let's look at the Muslims first. How do they enforce wearing dresses, this black robe they wear? They kill their women. For those of us who come from religious organizations, I remember our old preacher, when there was a woman who wasn't dressed properly, all the demons of hell conversed unto him, and they came from his mouth. You could hear it from 1,000 miles away, how evil that girl was. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Is this the Spirit of God that is enforcing wearing dresses? Go down through the religious systems and you'll see they're all alike, controlling women. And they're doing it this way. I know for a fact there are people who would like to come to this church, but because we have women who wear pants here, they're not going to come. Maybe they'll come once or twice. I'd rather they stay where they are. I'm not interested in teaching them anyway, because they're steeped in religion so deep that Satan has a lock and a chain around them, and they don't want that chain to be removed. Why? Because God has given them over to a mind that is following the traditions of men instead of following God. God showed me that in a split second when I asked him some questions. What do they teach for the doctrines of God? They teach traditions of man, putting aside God's ideas and taking their own. So what happens here? Because that they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. They are fools. How many families have been ripped apart because of this foolishness? How much good fellowship between Christians has been destroyed because of this foolishness? Look how Satan operates. He brings traditions that look godly into the picture, and he uses them to destroy fellowship, brothers and sisters, and division all over the place. This is what this is coming to. You take head coverings. Most religions take a head covering like the Catholic takes Mary. They wouldn't pray without that thing unless it's on their head. It has to be on there or else they're not qualified to pray. I'm not against head coverings, but when it comes to be a god, then it becomes idolatry. And they become simply fools. Foolishness, rejecting the teachings of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. Wherefore God, we're talking about the world here, but as you see, I'm also switching into those who are Christians and into those who are into religion. Wherefore God also give them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. What do a lot of those people do? You go out and watch the Eskimos or watch the Indians. Remember, their women, the traditional ones, also wear dresses. How do they pray? When they shoot a deer or when they kill a bear? They don't go up to it and say, thank you, Jesus, for this bear. He's going to supply my family with a lot of food. They go up to the bear and say, thank you, bear, for giving your life to sustain me. I see it. I watch it on. I've known this stuff for years. I was once moose hunting with somebody, and he told me the Indians would take a part of that moose and leave it here, showing their thankfulness to nature. Mother Nature is very cruel. If you don't watch out, Mother Nature will kill you. Instead of giving thanks to God, he doesn't care if you don't give him a kidney or a heart or whatever they give him. He just wants your thanks because he created that bear and that deer for you to eat if you need to. never mind giving thanks to the creature. It says they worshiped the creature more than they do the creator. And that's what's happening all over the world. It's not an isolated thing, and it has been going on for generations to generations to generations. Look back into your generations, the foolishness of the traditions that you had, and if it wouldn't be so serious, you could laugh at it. God wants us to get free from that bondage. It's not about wearing clothes this clothes or that clothes. It's about being in bondage. And we have to be free from it. Romans chapter 1 in verse 26. For this cause give them up to vile affection. For even their woman did change the natural use unto which is against nature. So when you go like that, then all of a sudden God just backs away. Do what you want to do. And you will find out that even the homosexual spirit will come in. How many of you know that up north, amongst the Eskimos, is the biggest immorality there ever was? They're so into promiscuity that it's just unbelievable. Homosexuality, all sorts of stuff going on. It used to before Christianity came in. And then what? And then comes suicide. Why? That's the payoff from worshiping creation, which in reality is worshiping Satan. And it says, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one towards another, men with men, working which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. So God allows these things to happen. They reject God. They reject the truth. So he backs off and allows evil spirits to come in. Homosexuality is an evil spirit. Homosexuality has been encroaching in on the church for the last 10 years like you would not believe. They're being accepted everywhere already because God is backing away. I'm not saying we should go against the homosexual. They need Jesus as much as everybody else. But if they're going to enforce their laws upon you, if you're going to be in bondage because of them, you need to be delivered. And that's how many are when it comes to ministering to those who are wearing dress. They're putting their fear and their law upon you. You better dress that way or you're not a very good Christian or not a very good example. These things are so intertwined. When I look at them, I cannot believe how smart Satan is. He's not wise, but he's smart. And he will bring you into destruction if we don't watch it. In Romans chapter 1 in verse 28, it tells us this. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do these things which are not convenient. So this is what God does. If you're going to insist on something, he'll simply back away and allow you to do what you want. Where do you stand in this? When it comes to the things of God, what shall we do that we might work the works of God, the Bible asks. The Pharisees asked. And John, it was simple. Believe on the one whom he has sent. How do we know that you're the one? Well, the blind see, the deaf hear. The gospel is being preached. We can see all these miracles. That's the works of God. And we are preaching the good news of the gospel. So we can check ourselves whether we want to follow God as we should. So the question I have, how about if the Christian steps over the line, he's God's chosen one, and he steps over the line and he does not want to follow God. I'm going to give you a pretty good example of what can happen. And we're going to be talking about God's children, which are the Israelites. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, in verse 1, it says, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. Did you know it was against the law for Israel to count the people? They were not allowed to. God said, you're going to become proud, so you better be not do this. But somehow David heard the voice of Satan and thought it was his own imagination. We have to remember, David heard from God time and time and time again. How did he miss here that when Satan spoke to him, how did he misjudge the voice? What was wrong with Satan, with David anyway? How could he do such a big slip up? You want to know why? I'm going to show it to you. 2 Samuel chapter 24, in verse 1 and 2. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, Go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab and to the captain of the host which were with him, Go now to all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even unto Beersheba, and number you the people, that I may know the number of the people. Isn't it interesting? Same story from a different angle. God was angry with Israel, his people, and he said, I am going to do something about it. He withdrew his hand, and Satan came in. David didn't have a chance. Why? Because God simply withdrew his hand from him. His protecting hand was gone. And he went and he numbered the children of Israel. How many thousands died in those plagues? I don't quite remember. But I'm telling you, David learned a lesson. And the children of Israel got a lesson. That should give us a lesson. Yes, the world has been given over to a reprobate mind. And many times we as Christians, we push our luck by insisting on what is anti-Bible. And God simply backs away. The voice of the Holy Spirit becomes dim. And this is what happened with David. He didn't hear the voice of God. He heard the voice of Satan. And God used Satan to bring David into sin. Does that happen to the Christian? I believe it happens quite often. Because you see the divorces, you see all the turmoil in the churches, you see the split ups, you see the division. What's happening? God is withdrawing his hand. God is pulling back. And he is telling us, if you don't want me for a guide, I'll let somebody else guide you. What do we get? Nothing but chaos and total destruction. So my answer to this is, watch yourselves. Look into the mirror. Do we want to follow the traditions of men? Do we want to back off and allow the pressure of the world to dominate us? If that's going to be the case, God will back off and he will allow you to simply walk down that road till you're in such bondage you will not know where you stand. But King David came to a point where he cried out and said, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. God will not do that, but you'll come to a point where it'll feel like it. So what do we do here as a
group of believers, stand on the Word of God. Look at your traditions that you were brought up in. Do they line up with Scripture? If they don't, then kick them from your life. Never mind your loved ones. Never mind those who are around you. Forget about them. It's your walk with God, and God wants this relationship, and He is not going to be satisfied till you give it to Him. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Did for me.